In case you thought otherwise, it's not just deliveries to home addresses that have strange courier mistakes. Even Panic, makers of the bright yellow Playdate, have been subject to shipping shenanigans. As revealed in this GDC talk, a pallet of Playdates was delivered to a Circle K construction site instead of to their intended destination, the shipping warehouse next door. Data is hard, and handling is harder. Don't get cranky. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this story and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We are live again tonight on what is totally the first take for the 998th episode of our show tonight, March the 31st of 2024. Happy Easter to you. Happy Trans Day of Visibility to you. And happy Cesar Chavez Day to you. Look, it wasn't that hard to acknowledge multiple things on the same day. Was it Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers?
You forgot Passover coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's and it's probably somebody's birthday today, too, which just goes to show multiple things can be celebrated on one day,
well,
right?
Easy. Well, speaking of birthdays, I am lucky this year that Passover actually starts after my birthday, which means I get cake.
Yay, cake.
And I've decided to go for the cake pie.
What kind
of Boston cream pie?
What kind of cake are you getting?
Boston cream pie, which is indeed a cake pie.
I see.
I'm going there, Rob. I'm going there.
Yum.
And everyone can celebrate with me.
For those of us that are watching us live over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show, except sometimes Bobby takes the night off, as he did tonight. He'll be back next week, but we are live still at 9 o'clock Eastern. And something all else that is happening tonight that has never happened before, besides three misfires on the audio board, would be, look at this, if you can see that again, sorry, this is only for the live folks that are watching live tonight. Notice there is a cat behind me on the couch. This never happens. He's never in here actually during the show. And this is why, if you're going to say, why is the blanket on the couch unmade? I can't make it. He's taken up the couch.
Cat has totally taken over.
Yeah, but that's what messy blankets are for, is for cats to take over. So there it is, an actual rare cheddar sighting. And that's the joy of being here live. I'm sorry to the podcast listeners. I do have good news for the podcast folks as well. But first, let me introduce Techmaster Loki. Hey, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, what is this game I see behind you live tonight? It is obviously some sort of Easter game, but not a very good one.
No, I mean, there's not many Easter games to pick from. It is, for the PlayStation 1, it is called Easter Bunny's Big Day.
Wow, okay. This strikes me as like when they remade Wolfenstein 3D as a Noah's Ark game or something like that. It just doesn't hit the same as the original.
Yeah, I don't know what this would have originally been, but I just did a real quick Easter long play, and this is the first thing that came up.
There you go. Hey, whatever works. We're going to get into the news as we always do here on the show. I said some good news for the podcast listeners, so let me tell you what it is. Well, first, apparently bad news. So in the, because, you know, what's good news, that little bad news? Well, here's the thing. Apparently, Google has decided to kill yet another one of its products. After all this, you know, Google is infamous for not keeping its it's a miracle my Gmail account still functions and that our Google calendar still work. But Google has decided they will be killing off Google Podcasts. So I used to say at the end of the show, I don't think I've said it in a while, but you could find this show on Google Podcasts. And I think you still can, at least for a few more months. But Google is going to be sunsetting podcasts in favor of YouTube podcasts. Is the platform they're going to be folding that into. And it was brought to my attention through our Discord server, which, of course, shout out for vognetwork.com/Discord. It was brought to my attention that we aren't on YouTube podcasts. And I was like, what? I kind of assumed that if we were on Google's ecosystem, we were on YouTube's podcast. So long story long, we're now on YouTube podcasts. So, or as Tiger Claw reframes it, it's YouTube Music, which happens to have a podcast section. Fine. But my point is,
that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. So we're now there. So if you weren't aware and YouTube is actually your preferred platform, there you go. I do want to point out this is not the video recording of our show that we do on Twitch on YouTube. So you will not actually see the video like you're watching it on Twitch, or if you subscribe to our Twitch channel that's in the archive. This is the same as any other podcast on YouTube Music, which is just the static image while the podcast plays in the background. That's all. So, but it's there for those folks that want to check us out that way. And yes, we have a YouTube. It's the first content we've posted to our YouTube channel in like 12 years. So check it out. All right. Anyway, we're going to get in now to some news and talk about what is going on this week. Oh, what's that?
There's one more new thing for those who are watching live. Uh-huh. Do you notice anything?
Well, okay. I know this is new. Oh, your VTube is not, recording. This
not
is actually
a
you.
Recorder. This is live again, because guess what?
Oh.
New Mac Studio.
That's right. I knew you got a new, not a new PC, a new Mac, because you were, talking about that on your own stream, but that's right.
So 64 now you... gig of RAM.
Oh, how nice.
It's beautiful. That's many, great. Many cores of graphics.
Yeah. How was, I meant to hop in the stream last night, but I was out and about, so I didn't get to watch.
I didn't play last night.
Oh, I mean, two nights ago.
I went
Friday.
To Alicia's birthday party.
Well, how was, but you've done a stream on this new computer. How did
yeah,
it go?
I did, because my computer actually arrived a day early. It arrived on Thursday.
Surprise. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If this is just for Bradley, since he brought it up.
Oh my God, it actually sees you, it sees you down to your middle finger. I didn't think it did that before. It's very nice.
Two, wow. 3, 4, 5, back to 1.
That's nice. All right.
Anyway, but yeah, I got everything ready, so I just decided to do my Friday Avatar stream, and I accidentally beat the game.
Oops.
It has the longest credits ever.
Well, like the movies.
I made a comment at one point that I was now in a committed relationship with those credits, because I was going to see them to the end and see if I got anything. You can still, there's actually like an after game. You can keep doing like your quests and stuff. So I'm going to keep enjoying it.
It needs a game over the credits, like Smash Brothers. That's
I was screaming during that whole blast fight, though, because I was like, stupid game. Because I've tried to. The only thing I've used like any kind of FAQ for was like finding stuff. But anyway, I'll talk about that in my gaming week. But okay. I just wanted to bring up that my VTuber's back.
No, thanks for reminding. It's nice to see you in motion. It's great. All right. Yeah. Well, getting into our lead story tonight, let's talk about the Final Fantasy 14 release on the Xbox platform. But it's not quite the news story you think. I mean, yes, the game did release on the Xbox platform. You know all out there, I love Final Fantasy 14. This isn't why I'm bringing it up, though. It's actually a report that Final Fantasy 14 players that are playing on Xbox are getting banned. Not just
good.
Stop it. Not just for playing the game, but apparently for some of the words that they're using. For example, using the in-game chat to look for a free company. With somebody going to Reddit to post that they got banned by Microsoft for advertising a free company under some type of self-promotion or even potentially like NSFW type of chat that's happening there. Apparently, Microsoft is also overreaching in some of the bans. So, for example, you can't say glass. You can just say GL because that's censored. You can't – one of the cities in Final Fantasy 14 or one of the regions – is Thanalan, and you can't even type Thanalan because it's Thanalan, and unfortunately there's a nasty little word there in the middle, and so
you need to talk about like having anal fissures and going to the doctor.
So this is the point, is that Microsoft is allegedly anyway overreaching with a lot of these bans.
Their bot is too sensitive.
This boss just said, well, it's funny you call it a bot, because there are some reports out there, and I don't, you know, again, we're only hearing from the user perspective, and that's why I have to say allegedly and so forth, because we don't know. Allegedly, this person could have advertised a free company and then advertised something bad and said, oh, I got banned for this. You know how some people on the internet are. But it does seem very likely that the Microsoft ban protocol is really overreaching on this whole thing. And some people are bringing up the fact that Microsoft actually laid off a chunk of their moderation group. Remember those big layoffs that happened a few weeks ago? They've actually laid off a portion of that group in favor of, you ready? You ready? AI to be doing a lot of this. And so
it's really Al. They're just having Al do everything.
And now
it's a Japanese girl named Ai.
Ai.
Her name, it means love.
Here is the whole, now again, this is all allegedly, we're making it up because of course Microsoft isn't commenting on this. Until Microsoft comments on this, we have no choice but to make it up. And that is what Microsoft, if you're out there, this is what the internet is going to continue to do until you make this very clear for folks. They're going to make it up. This is human nature. Your brain fills in the gaps with assumptions if you don't, you know, tell people what's going on. And so people are saying that, you know, this is AI's fault and AI's overreaching. And this is a case of you reap what you sow for Microsoft's case, is that this is what you get for thinking that AI could do the job of humans, because it's going to take a very, very, very long time for machine learning to learn a lot of the nuances about the English language, let alone the hundreds of other languages that are spoken on Xbox Live. And the fact that a dirty word is not as simple as anal. Anal can be part of a larger word like Thanalan, or like Dark Sakura pointed out, there is completely non-abusive, derogatory, scientific reasons why you might say that. I don't know. Maybe you're playing Trauma Center and you're having to, I don't even think it's like on say, Xbox.
my cousin is in the hospital for some sort of weird anal cancer. You know, that's okay. One thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite different than saying, you know, let's go douche your anal cavity or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Legit. You reminded me.
Legit use of the term. Actual thing that happens.
Yeah. And you legit reminded me, Farrah Fawcett, icon, legend, passed away from anal cancer. Yeah. You know
I need that.
Yeah, you did. A lot of people, it was the same day as Michael Jackson. That's why a lot of people
But Farrah Fawcett was more important. What an icon.
She was an icon. And, you know, I'm saying
what a hair icon.
I'm saying that complete seriousness is that if you want to be able to raise awareness, it's not a tee hee giggly thing. It's a serious thing that has taken the lives of iconic people.
The stream was talking about the Panama Canal, or what about an analysis?
Yeah. So,
There is a difference between an analysis and an anal cyst.
All this talk is like, you know, and obviously we are hyper fixated on one thing. Go figure. We're hyper fixated on the anus. No, but all that joking aside, like, obviously it goes to show there is so much nuance with language that you can't expect an automated system to be able to catch. And obviously,
and you're being so anal about it.
And MMOs require people to be able to communicate. Being able to talk about, hey, you complete that quest in Central Thanalan is important to the game. You collect those gears with mining in East Thanalan. You need to be able to say those types of things. So this whole moderation thing, and to be fair, the Xbox version of Final Fantasy 14 is already fucking weird. And the reason why it is because you have to pay with the Xbox coins. You don't have your sub directly through the Mog Station like you do on other platforms. You have to have Xbox Gold or whatever it's called now, Game Pass Essentials, whatever they call what used to be Gold.
Fifth Stream says the Buttholian.
Yeah. You have to be able to have Game Pass and the subscription, which a lot of people are saying you have to double dip because on PlayStation, you don't have to have PlayStation Plus in order to play Final Fantasy 14 online. So Microsoft, for whatever reason, is putting all of these other barriers in it. And now you can't even say Free Company or Thanalan or whatever, because there might be a dirty word in it. And so
what's that about Free Company, though?
No, I don't think it's actually the word Free Company, but I think because somebody was shouting, hey, are you interested in joining a group of like-minded people, and was advertising for their Free Company, but the game picked it up as spam, basically, is what it sounds like. So, and there's, you know, Sure.
Free company for only $5 a minute. Call 1-800 or 1-900 free company.
Okay, Darksakura, you joke, but do you know what they also advertise a lot of times in chat is the after dark dance parties that happen in the housing districts in Final Fantasy 14. This is a real, real fucking thing. I'm not making this up.
I know.
Discord parties, DJ, it's all. Yeah, exactly.
The Eorzea Circuit Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The Eorzea Circuit Party. And remember, they advertised on a billboard one time that was in the news. But anyway, you should be allowed. I mean, even though I understand those things can be inconvenient, they do have a right to shout in those channels. And if you know, you can always turn those channels off and so forth. So at least, you know, they're doing it the way they should. And it just sucks to see them penalized for it. Can I even say penalized, or is the system going to pick that up as a dirty word too?
Oh, I mean, do people? I guess you could get a penal cyst.
Fifth Dream in chat says, "What about free anal? Join us." No, I don't think you could be. The system probably wouldn't like that. Like extra a lot. Yeah, this is just the thing.
What about annual? People typo that all the time as anal, right? Right?
You can't expect AI to do a person's job. And I can't believe Microsoft, one of the leading tech companies out there, is going to learn this fucking lesson the hard way. Well, I can actually believe it, but I also can't believe it. This is just, it's yet again another one of those boardroom executive stuffy folk mistakes that make way too much money, mistakes that just don't fucking understand how gaming fucking works, making these decisions that then just make them look ridiculous, which is what this whole thing is doing. So I just think we just need different. We need robots to not do moderation. Robots can make maybe select things that could be looked at by a human, or maybe, you know, like highlight things that should be looked at later. But the system shouldn't be doing the bans automatically.
Essentially, they should understand, like, this is the whole mantra of, like, robotic process automation, which is you have to have it be repeatable and rule-based in order to be able to do any sort of thing with AI or, like, machine learning or that type of thing. It has to be predictable enough to follow certain guidelines. But, yeah, they're not also understanding context, obviously. Well, that's one thing that robots don't understand a lot of times is context. And so that's why we run into this type of stuff.
Well, this honestly, and I don't mean to, you know, be exaggeratory or whatever, but also I kind of mean it. This type of thing ought to be something that Microsoft ought to be held accountable for, because their whole ban appealing system is not great. It takes people forever to have things looked at, if they even get it looked at all, again, by a real person. But as I pointed out, for this person advertising their free company to be able to play Final Fantasy 14 online, they're paying a Game Pass sub, they're paying for Xbox coins, and now they've been booted off the system for no reason. And I understand that's all in the fine print that you're supposed to scroll through that nobody actually reads, that they are able to do that. I do realize that, but at the same time, there comes a point where it's like the breach of contract is so egregious, as is happening here, that should not apply. The fact that there is no realistic system to have things appealed in a timely manner, this person should get their money back. 100%. And they ought to be entitled to get their money back.
And that was to do a proper appeal.
Yeah. So I don't want to call out the lawyer vultures to come to action, but I think I'm going to have to in this case. I don't mean to call out those Facebook ads that always pop up on my thing. Have you bought something from Steam? Have you subscribed to World of Warcraft? You could be entitled to, which is all that stuff is a scam. But we need the actual lawyer vultures to come out and do a class action on this. This is the only way this shit's going to change. It's going to take a fucking class action lawsuit for this to change. And so, free company person, I hope you get in on that. And, you know, of course, a class action lawsuit is literally not going to cause anybody to actually get their money back, but it will cause Microsoft to change the system. And that's like the one time I actually feel like it might be a good thing until I'm convinced otherwise. So. All right. Well, we'll get into our gaming weeks, and hopefully we weren't banned from any platforms this week, but stay tuned. Maybe we were. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was pretty good. Like I said, I played Dead by Daylight with Fixie and Shayla on Tuesday, which was great because I miss playing with the both of them together. And we made another new friend who played with us. I did get my computer on Thursday, a Mac Studio. I didn't, of course, get like the biggest one because I just didn't have the $3,000 for it, you know. But the one I got is pretty great. I got like the second level processor, and I'm pretty happy with it. If I could find the specs, I would go over a bit more. Okay, yeah. So what I got is I have an M2 Max with a 12-core CPU, 38-core GPU, 16-core neural engine, 64 gigabyte of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD. And it's certainly made it where I can use my VTuber. And even right now, I have everything that I normally have running during the show and my full VTuber running and Daz Studio, which is a 3D software application running in the background as well. So I'm feeling no pain. I mean, I'm sure my animation is smooth and everything is fine. So, of course, that made playing Avatar really nice. But then I learned something is that the problems I'm having with OBS are independent of my computer's capabilities. And that GeForce likes to apply its own idea of a web connection that has nothing to do with my gigabit Ethernet either. So, running into some issues there. But I did up my bitrate for Twitch, and it still kept up pretty well. It looked all right. But yeah, I beat Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, and I'm going to keep playing. I did not play Castlevania or Dracula XX or whatever because I was at my friend's party. I am going to be playing more Dead by Daylight tonight, and I'm prepping up for a marathon on my birthday. I've started like another really stupid game today. It's like, what's it called? It's a Tamagotchi game. Like right. Tamagotchi World Adventure.
Oh, okay.
It there's like some Animal Crossing ripoff stuff in there. So I'm not going to go too far into that, but I mean, it was a fun little waste of time, you know? But yeah, that's been it. It's mostly been me trying to... I haven't tried Baldur's Gate on this computer. I still don't know if I'll be able to stream it at all. But I'm going to go see what happens if I can run Baldur's Gate 3 at max level. Because I have the native Mac version.
Nice.
We'll see.
All right.
But yeah, I'm having fun. I like it. It's beefy.
It's always fun to have a shiny new computer.
It's tall. Okay, so you know about how tall the Mac Mini is?
Mm-hmm.
This is about 3 Mac Minis and a trench coat tall.
Nice.
So, it's... I like it.
All right.
My baby. I need a new name for her, though.
You should have a contest to name.
We'll see.
Spawn. I don't know. All right. Loki, how
was... I was going to say the Tower of Glower.
Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was pretty much Minecraft. Actually, I think it was all Minecraft. So I took a couple days off to work on the theme park ride stuff. I didn't end up doing that the entire time. Instead, I did some of the things that are going towards my next episode. So I got like 2 big farms done and just some other like nonsense grinding stuff. I did end up working on some of it though. So I have, I'm like wool boxing out like the rooms and the show buildings and stuff to try to figure out where all that stuff's going to be laid out. So it's still going to be a process, but I'm trying to work on that and then get, you know, episode content ready to go as well. So I can put stuff out while I'm working on this big project.
All right. Well, good luck. Let's see, my gaming week. Honestly, kind of similar stuff to what I usually play, Final Fantasy XIV. I actually did play the Xbox version of Final Fantasy XIV because I just wanted to unlock achievements. That's all. And if you do have Game Pass Ultimate, you can get the starter edition of Final Fantasy XIV. And I just installed that on my Xbox. I logged in. And you have to do things to like trigger the checks. Like you have to kill a mob to get all the mob related achievements. You have to finish a quest to get all the quest related achievements. So I didn't get everything because unfortunately the raids you have to do by clearing the raid. There's no way to just like get them all. But I got a good job. I got probably like 1,000 achievement points just from my Final Fantasy history, just from like loading it up and doing a few little tasks in game. But that's probably all I'll really play of that version for now. I don't know. Maybe I'll play on the TV downstairs at some point, but that's where my Series X is hooked up. I did all of this through playing on the network, remote play. So I was on my PC, but I was playing the Xbox downstairs, which I do love that system, to be honest. I love the remote play stuff. It's been great for that kind of thing. But yeah, because not only did I do it for Final Fantasy XIV, I did it for Diablo 4, because Diablo 4 I've also been playing this week, and that came out on Game Pass. Same thing. I went in and got about 250 achievement points just from some of the quest-related things I already did. But same thing. It doesn't check everything on Xbox, so and I'm not looking at switching to Xbox exclusively, but it's fun to, you know, just pop the achievements. It makes me wish there was a universal achievement system across all platforms, but I know that's
where was something like that when I lost Stadia.
Right?
And yeah, had to redo all of my DVD. The only of my DVD things that I did not have to redo was my P350, because, I mean, they're number one, there's no way, but I had logged in on Steam just before that ended.
And then it would have seen you already had a character that was there. So that's...
Yeah, because that's now considered, like, it's like their only legacy achievement left.
Yeah, interesting. All right. So, yeah. So it was fun to pop the achievements. Otherwise, I've actually been playing Diablo 4 because they... this weekend, they've done an experience boost, and so I'm kind of working on that to level my barbarian through the current season. I really feel like the battle pass, they tuned it to move slower this season. I should have been done with the battle pass by now, and I'm halfway through. So I really think it's moving half as slow, which is a little silly, and I'd be very curious if Reddit or some other communities out there have done the math on if they tweak this at all, because I really feel like they did, which is a little bit irritating, but it's fine. I'll gain progress as I get more achievements, and maybe this will be the first character I get to 100. We'll see, because the current season got extended because they're doing all this stuff. They're basically reworking the entire loot and end game system for the next season in response to a lot of the feedback they're getting. So they had to extend this current season by a month, which is fine. It'll give me time to finish it. Looking in chat, SG100 Matt says, oh, damn, I forgot Diablo 4 is on Game Pass. Yes, there you go. PSA, Diablo 4 came out on Game Pass this week for those that have that. And then, of course, the Final Fantasy 14 I talked about as well. But my advice, don't pick up the Final Fantasy 14 Starter Edition on Game Pass if you are not already a subscriber to 14. If you are a subscriber to 14 already, yes, go get it. Get your license set up and all that stuff. If you have never played 14 before, stick with the free edition until you decide you want to stick with it. Because once you get that starter edition, you can never go back to the free edition and you'll have to pay a monthly sub if you want to play it. So it's another one of those things that I think is way too overcomplicated about the system. But alas, here we are in the year 2024 and we can't simply... And they're still charging money for Final Fantasy XI, quite frankly. So, you know, there's certain things that I don't think Square's figured out, or Microsoft, to be quite honest. So, all right. Well, with that, we will get into some gaming news. And I guess Loki starting us off with some other things that Microsoft hasn't seemed to figure out, such as stopping leaks, right?
Exactly. So, apparently, we kind of knew that this was coming, I think, from some other leak stuff where they had, you know, talked about future SKUs and stuff like that. But now we have what appears to be a leaked image of an Xbox Series X that is all white and without a disc drive. And apparently is supposed to be coming out priced under $500 with an improved heatsink, but no other major enhancements. I think a larger store or hard drive or something like that. SSD is supposed to be on there, allegedly. And it's supposed to be coming out this summer, so I guess we'll have to wait and see if that ends up happening. Honestly, like, I was kind of mixed on whether this was actually a legit leak of that. It almost looks like a development kit just based off of like the paneling on the back of this. But I haven't looked at my Series X in a while, so I don't know if that's the same on there as well. But I don't know. I wouldn't want this. This looks like more like a mini fridge than the normal Series X. So Who knows?
I mean, I understand that digital is where a lot of things are going and that they probably are doing a refresh to maybe try to move more units over the summer and holiday. I don't think this is too big a deal, though.
I mean, it's nice to have choice, I guess, as long as they're not like saying, oh, yeah, we're going to discontinue the Series X, I guess, as is with the, the disk drive that we're just getting rid of all disks. Yeah. Would be the only hesitation I would have with that.
All right. Well, we'll see when the official announcement comes in. Maybe if they plan on doing anything else, but I doubt it. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Nintendo, because we still don't really know what's happening with the Switch 2. I mean, we have the rumors that it's been delayed into next year, which seems to be more and more the case the longer we go without an announcement. I mean, June will be when we know for sure, because either we get something announced for the holiday or nothing is announced at all except more Switch games. But what's interesting, some moving and shakings going on at the official Nintendo testing center, apparently before the Switch 2 becomes a thing. Some current and former contractors mentioned that there was a massive downsizing that was going on, meaning layoffs. With the video game industry, were affecting them as well. And these reports about the launch of Switch 2 being delayed until 2025. Nintendo, in a statement, said these changes will involve some contractor assignments ending, as well as the creation of a significant number of new full-time employee positions. All I can see in my head is that TikTok of the, you have been promoted. You are now one of my elite employees. Like, this is exactly what this Nintendo email sounds like, is we fired that person, but now you've been promoted to this other person. That's exactly what this, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh because, some people lost their job and that sucks. But like this, literally, that's what this statement sounds like to me. That's all. If you haven't seen, and of course I say it's on TikTok, but just like anything on those short video platforms, that video is everywhere. Instagram Reels, YouTube, whatever. I know you've seen this if you spend any time looking at all those shit posts on those platforms. Anyway, let's see, where were we?
Does this mean I'm getting more money? No, I'm afraid we don't have it in the budget.
No.
But NOA will offer severance packages, provide assistance during the transition. They say we're incredibly grateful for the important contributions, blah, blah, blah. We don't know exactly how many employees this is. The people that kind of leaked this information to the press say it could be about 100 contractors. But again, we don't really know because they're not saying exactly what the number is there. So, yeah. Also, apparently, the same people that got laid off and squealed to the press, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a reason. I shouldn't say that. But, they have now squealed about none of them. Apparently, no one there was having any hands-on time with the upcoming Switch 2. So these folks are allegedly confirming that the Switch 2 has not even been testing yet, which would seem to lend credit to it's not happening until 2025. And this restructuring could be as we are getting, so maybe they cut out the people that tend to squeal. I don't know. Well, I think this is just, if you lay off people and these press companies have anonymous signal accounts, there's people that are going to be more than happy to burn their former employer once they realize that loyalty is not there. It's maybe that is why they're doing it now.
Companies, and maybe they won't squeal.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's all what's going on. So just the report there that also the Switch 2 doesn't even appear to have been being tested yet, but perhaps this whole shift is because that's coming soon. So they're kind of locking in the current system. Who knows? We'll see. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, in terms of layoffs and other things happening, Sega is selling off Relic Entertainment and laying off about 240 employees across Europe. And this is their quote about why, is that the business environment surrounding the consumer area, especially in the European region, is rapidly changing. And then reactionary decline from the stay-at-home demand in COVID-19 and the economic downturn due to inflation. Basically, we ain't making enough money and people ain't going out and spending enough.
Well, and the same reason every tech company's claiming right now.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's funny how they talk about, like, you know, economic downturn and all that stuff, but yet, $70 games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they want us to buy the games, drop the price point on the game.
Oh, no, no, no. Loki. $70 games with a battle pass.
With a battle pass and DLC and all other
and
stuff.
And loot boxes. Yeah. And horse armor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I want my horse to be well protected?
Then you have every right. You have every right to buy that. There's nothing. I'm not going to. People can spend money on what they like. Look, I'm part of the problem. I have the Diablo 4 Battle Pass. That's part of my. I got a $70 game. No. I got a $100 game because I bought the limited edition. And now I have a Battle Pass. Of course, Season 1's Battle Passes was included with that price, but now I bought Season 2 and Season 3. So I'm part of the problem. So.
Hi. Well. As I was saying, basically something that's coming out of this though is that Relic is going independent. They found an external investor, and they are going to continue on their current projects, like Company of Heroes 3, and they are still working on the update coming out in April, new content. And, of course, their quote on here, "We want to thank Sega, whose support over the years and guidance during this transition have been instrumental to our success. We may be out of the Sega business, but we remain friends and colleagues," meaning we ain't burning our bridges. They may be useful in the future.
Well, employees probably still want to move between them, so yeah.
But basically, though, we may even see a return of some previous things that they might have been working at, like when they canceled Hyenas. So who knows? Maybe we'll have something. Maybe we'll have something new from them. But it is, I think it's a pretty good thing that the company itself is surviving. So we'll see what comes of them.
All right, we sure will. It's nice to hear at least that, you know, the studio was goes independent as opposed to just closing. So it's somewhat of a nice footnote. All right.
It's something.
Well, Loki, let's talk about that economy for another company.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So GameStop, yeah, still struggling. Who'd have thought, you know, that they didn't make all their money back with, the crazy stock prices that they had.
And the NFT marketplace didn't make them billionaires.
Yeah, I just thought that would take off, or, you know, their independent software.
Who could have predicted the flop of NFTs? Who could have predicted that?
No one could have predicted that. It's just ridiculous. So they apparently are having some financial trouble because, you know, sales are starting to go more digital, and especially now that we have, more consoles going all digital as well, that's obviously eating into their profits. So apparently, GameStop said earlier that their earnings for 2023, their fourth quarter, totaled $1.79 billion compared to the same period in 2022. That was $2.23 billion, so a 20% decline in sales overall. They say that the increasing mix of digital downloads is hurting physical retail, and there is simply no reason to go to the store if a consumer can just order the game and download it immediately. Revenues are highly unlikely to rebound unless management figures out ways to drive store traffic. I mean, yeah, kind of. Actually this week I did end up going into a GameStop. We were killing time. Maybe actually it was last week, but we were killing time. But there's not a lot in there anymore. Like, you know, they have their huge wall of Funko Pops. They have a lot of, like, video game memorabilia type stuff. PC hardware, even, like, peripherals and whatnot. But there's not a lot that, like, really screams out, I gotta buy this. Plus, when you think about it, there's a lot of games out there now where the physical edition is just a case and a download code. And so it doesn't make sense to go in and go purchase that through a physical retailer to just, you know, essentially get the same thing just with extra garbage that you're going to throw away. On top of that, like, I think even the discounts on their games weren't even very good. Like, I was looking at even used copies, and it's just like a few bucks cheaper than what it is normally for games that have been out for a very long time. Like, I think Skyrim on the Switch was still $50. But I was like, no, I'm not buying it for that price. So I don't know. They've been struggling for a while, but they didn't do anything smart with
their
extra.
They're limping themselves along.
In part, they I'm didn't kind of do anything. Surprised they're still there, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do anything as far as, you know, utilizing the extra capital they have to do something meaningful. Instead, they chased trends, which, I mean, anybody could have told them we're going to fail.
Well, and
but,
I feel like they're also chasing trends a little bit behind the curve is what's happening. And again, yet again, management not being, you know, having the foresight, you know, investing in dumb things like NFT and, you know, Funko Pops. Sure, I understand they're popular, but I don't know. Am I just being an old fuddy-duddy feeling like the bubble on Funko Pops is mostly burst? Like, I know people still collect them, but I feel like... Is the demand there for those things to be in like every GameStop across the country? I don't think so.
I don't know. And like, honestly, with that type of stuff, like, they're so large. Like, I just
Funko
wouldn't
Pops
have...
are in Hot Topic, Box Lunch. Yeah, they're in
everywhere.
Every fucking Spencer Gifts. They're in every fucking store, right?
And to that to that sense as well. Like, yeah, cool, there's Funko Pops at GameStop, but, like, if I'm searching for a Funko Pop for something specific, I go on the internet and search for it and order it online and have it shipped to my door. Like, I don't need to go into GameStop to go see, ooh, what Funko Pops do you got in here? Unless they're doing, like, buy, sell, trade of that stuff, which, what's the point at that point? But I don't know, there's just, we're not in a landscape where we used to be where pre-internet, they had a list of like, here's what's coming out. And it was like, oh, I need to go to them for my information on what I should, you know, order and all that stuff or what I should pick up. And now it's like, I don't need them because I have the internet. I have millions of different YouTubers out there revealing different things.
This is happening with games too. Like, even, you know, again, to go back to Final Fantasy 14, because it's a game I love and follow, you know, the pre-orders for Dawn Trail opened this week. But guess what? You don't walk into a GameStop and pre-order anymore. You just do it online and you get the instant rewards delivered to your account because that's what Square is able to do. And so people are incentivized to just buy it right there online. You know, that's one example, but many games are like this at this point. It's just, I think GameStop, you know, the used game market is still a thing, and I think GameStop can exist somewhat on that front, but I think they also need to really lean into, I do think the right shift is to shift into like nerd culture types of those sorts of things. Again, I think of a store like Box Lunch, and I enjoy those stores and I go into the mall. I think they're neat. And one thing I think they do very well, they're split up into these different sections. So like you can go to like, oh, here's the Star Wars section. Here's the Harry Potter section. Although if you're a Harry Potter fan in 2024, anyway, that's a whole other subject. But somebody's buying it. So that's there. They actually have video games and Pokemon is the thing there. They have all these other little sections. And I kind of think that like GameStop would be smart to make a similar pivot. Because video games are now in the year 2024 and for our generations that are, you know, spending money, a lot like movie and movie memorabilia and what's kept a lot of that stuff open. Now, do I think a GameStop will need to be open in every mall, every strip mall across America? Probably not. There's probably still going to be continued downsizing, but I think they could hold their own against a Box Lunch, a Hot Topic, a Spencer Gifts, a... what's that one? It used to be Attic Salt and they changed their name to something else, something fire. I don't know, but it can kind of hold its own against a lot of these companies that just sell neat stuff. Like if GameStop had a Final Fantasy section, because let me tell you, 14 players are a Battle.net, Overwatch, WoW stuff, you know, but not just old shirts that you can get online, but like really like cool other memorabilia and stuff.
So. Yeah, they need to differentiate themselves with this stuff. You can, I mean, I hate to say this because we hated the GameStop exclusive nonsense when it came to like pre-order stuff, but for the sake of their business, they need to have something that only you can get at GameStop. Whether I don't necessarily think it needs to be products, but it could be just like a service or something. But it's hard to say what that would be in this day and age. It would just be, I mean, I don't know, like Land Center type gaming or something. I don't know to get people in the store.
Especially with that type of merchandise, you can also expect that sometimes stores are going to have exclusives, right? Like, for example, if you have an expensive Coach bag, you had to get that from a Coach store. Or a back alley in New York City that looks really, really, really similar.
Or Goodwill.
But you get my drift. You know, you kind of expect that, you know, to get these sorts of exclusives, you have to go to certain stores. That's especially when it comes to like shirts and clothing and things like that. That's not, I don't think that's too wild to expect that, you know, they're going to have exclusives. And we just had the Final Fantasy shirt collection was at Uniqlo. Right, that's the type of thing that should have been a GameStop thing. Why did GameStop let Uniqlo have that? Now, don't get me wrong, I love Uniqlo, so I'm glad they did. But that's the type of shit that GameStop needs to be fighting for, not fucking NFTs.
Yeah,
and Funko Pops. Which, by the way, in chat, Gijirama S says the Funko Pop bubble burst last year when they wrote off $30 million of merchandise, dumping them in the trash. Look, I don't want to. I've gotten in trouble for speaking ill of Funko Pops on this program before, and I'm not planning to do that. But you know, I do think it's the type of thing where it's like, I think of Funko Pops, I think of anime conventions and gaming conventions. That's the type of place where you expect to buy and sell that stuff. Not every fucking nerd store in America is just a lot. And Target.
Yes, Target has quite a few of those.
A lot. And I feel like even the bubble's bursting with the Target supply and all that stuff, too. So anyway. All right. Well, moving on. Here's another thing that, you know, again, GameStop might want to get on this because I think a lot of people are going to be very excited about this. And it's GameStop won't sell a single copy of this game, but they could get in on the merchandise. For Marvel Rivals was just announced this week. Marvel Rivals looks to be, we'll say, inspired heavily, shall we, by Overwatch, which I'm sure you've seen. It looks to be a type of kind of a team game which you can play. And we don't know, like, if there's like objectives and things like that and that, but definitely when you kind of look at this game and the trailer in motion, it gives you big vibes from Overwatch. It is a 6v6. Ooh, that's going to sting for the Overwatch 1 fans. It's a 6v6 team-based shooter. It will be free to play. And the universe is said to be continually evolving. So new heroes, new villains, new maps, new challenges. All the same shit you expect from a product that is inspired by Overwatch. Apparently, the alpha launch will be out in May, and some of the characters you can play when the first testing version goes up will be Spider-Man, Black Panther, Magneto, Magic, and apparently some other unannounced characters. Developers did mention characters like Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Hulk, and Iron Man will be playable, but not known if that's in the alpha or not. We've also seen screenshots with Doctor Strange, Storm, Scarlet Witch. Let's be real. There is a very large Marvel roster for them to choose from. And even if your favorite character is not in the game when this game releases, they probably could come out eventually. I mean, what? There's like 80,000 things in the Marvel roster. There's who knows? Anyway, so again, more to come when we get the testing in May. So check that out. But I know a lot of people that are into Overwatch are keeping an eye on this one because, you know, Overwatch 2 has had it a little bit rough. I don't know. I'm very curious how these next few months treat Overwatch 2 now that they are no longer under Activision and you're already seeing change happen. For example, they released a brand new hero this weekend, Venture. And Venture's a new hero that you can... Is that the name, Venture? Or was it...
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
Okay, yeah, I think their name was Venture. It was something with a V. But Venture's a new hero that was available on the live servers for just this weekend. And when Season 10 comes out, they are going to be included. You're not going to have to get them through the Battle Pass or anything like that. They're just a character you're going to pick up as playing Overwatch. And so you kind of go like, oh, that's an interesting change they're already making now that they're no longer owned by Activision, because this is something that, you know, a lot of the public has been asking for. Thank you, Mike Deft. It is Venture is the name of that hero. Well, by the way, and on an aside, this shouldn't be a big deal, but it is. In all of the announcement posts and the bio posts, Venture is using they, them pronouns, which is very exciting for non-binary individuals that would like to see some representation in games. And Overwatch 2 has done a lot of representation very well. So we have who appears to be our first. I don't know if Blizzard has actually come out and said they are non-binary.
I've seen articles that have said that, yeah.
Well, the articles are inferring it based on the Blizzard post because Blizzard is not using any other pronouns besides they, them. But Blizzard never came out and said, Venture is a non-binary hero, at least as far as I know. It's just in all the promotional materials people noticed. But this is the hilarious thing. Because I was doing what I shouldn't do, and I was reading the comment section. It was on Facebook. This is actually where I saw the new hero announced, was on Facebook. And everybody in the comments was intentionally trying to misgender this character. But the problem is, half of them are saying she and half of them are saying he. Because they don't know. And that's kind of what's sort of awesome about this. And Blizzard simply just letting this be a fucking fact. They, them, deal with it. Like, I don't know. There's something very fascinating about watching this play out and watching the trolls play themselves. I don't know what it is, but I find it very fascinating. As frustrating as much as it makes me weep for humanity. So anyway, Phil of Nine in chat says, Rob, we got to turn your parental controls back on. Stay out of the comments. Yeah, right. Mm. Mike Def does bring back an interesting point here. Mike Def says, I say ella, but that's because in Spanish we don't have non-binary pronouns. And I believe that's where the whole like Latinx was coming from in part, right? Or I think there's a whole debate on that whole thing right now, actually, that I'm not sure I want to wade into. But I don't think Spanish is the only language that's extremely gendered. There's a lot of languages where words change.
French.
Yeah. There's a lot of languages rooted in change based on, whether a person is male or female. So, yeah. But anyway, SSG 100 Matt says, yeah, folks made a stink about Morph being non-binary for X-Men 97, but they got over it because the series has been good. I need to watch X-Men 97, man. Apparently it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to sit down and watch it. Yeah. But it makes sense to somebody who doesn't technically have a form with any defining features mm-hmm. that they can be whatever they feel like.
That's right.
Whatever they feel that they are.
Yeah. So I think what's happening is great with Blizzard and what's happening with Overwatch. So anyway, sorry, I got on a little bit of a tangent because the story was really supposed to be about Marvel, but this was something else that happened in the week with a related game. So I wanted to bring it up. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
So, We remember the play date. I mean, certain people on this podcast own one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certain people want one.
$40,000 worth of them have gone missing. There were two pallets at a shopping center in Las Vegas, and they're gone. They went missing. It's a heist. They got on that train, even though it was in Las Vegas and probably at a store. But yeah, but they were looking at the inventory numbers at the shopping center in Las Vegas, and some of the numbers didn't add up. And they found that two pallets of them were unaccounted for. And so, yeah, it's like the shopping center said FedEx claimed that they were delivered, but they have no trace of them. And then another set of pallets that were eventually recovered ended up being delivered to a construction site of a Circle K next door to the shopping center.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Right. But the person, Cable Sasser, who's the co-founder of Playdate, showed a picture of the pallet just sitting there in the open. And then someone went to go get them. But yeah, the same person was supposed to sign off on both of the pallets, and they signed off on the ones that were at the construction site. So I think that person is probably promoted to customer at that shopping center.
You have but been now it's demoted. Got a,
no, just it's promoted to customer. a new position of unemployment. Yeah. Fun employment. I mean, it's got a pretty decent library of stuff now, so maybe this is them finally being able to, you know, nail all this down and figure out what's happening.
Tiger Claw in chat asks, could it be an inside job? I mean, it could
be. Did they drive a bunch of minis in and load them up into little minis and then drive off with them through a sewer?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Yeah, as folks were saying in chat, suggesting where these things might end up. Although, as I understand it, the pallets, like the way the pallets are kind of accounted for, but it's not all of the merchandise on them is, I'm assuming. So it's going to be interesting to see where these things end up.
It'd be really hard to flip all those too. Like it's a pretty niche console. Like I get people that want it, but it's still pretty niche.
And they'll end up on like street vendors and, you know, those sorts of things where people just go, oh, it's a neat little system. I know folks in chat are saying eBay, but I feel like eBay is a lot, maybe some of them will, but I feel like eBay is a lot more traceable too. Although I don't know if they'd necessarily be able to know that this was something that was taken off a pallet or it's a legit sale. So Pod Culture suggests Temu. Maybe that's where they're getting their deals. I don't know. No, but you know, it is wild to think about where these things might be being flipped. All right.
Yeah.
Sean322 in chat says GameStop exclusive Playday handhelds. Oh, maybe that's GameStop's new business model. All right.
To be fair, it would be their smartest business decision yet. Carrying the Playday in their store, like, well, okay, well, it wouldn't be viable for them because that's an entirely digital console. But that piece of hardware being in a store would be something that's exclusive to that store because it's right now it's only available online. So, like, that would be something that I could see. Like, almost like feels like they should be kind of going the whole Netflix route in the sense that they have. Or maybe even like Netflix, Amazon, where they have like people that are creating custom like software games for their platform. So like GameStop almost needs to be like a publisher at some point and publish their own things. But they don't have the money to sink into that either. So like it's. Have you tried serving pizza at the restaurant or at your store too? Like, you know, pizza and games, you know, it's worked for Chuck E. Cheese. You know, why not?
Yeah. Why not just become a place instead of trying to sell?
Just
games,
become an arcade.
People game.
Arcade and pizza. Just like completely pivot. Arcade pizza.
All right. Anyway, for now, let's talk about other business decisions. Loki.
I've forgot that Gearbox was owned by the Embracer Group, which sucks because, you know, with their financial troubles that they're in, you know, what does that mean for Gearbox and their Borderlands series and whatnot? Well, thankfully, you know, it is Gearbox. And because of that, you know, and their partnerships with Take-Two Interactive in the past, they have now been acquired by Take-Two Interactive. They paid $460 million to acquire them, whereas Embracer bought them originally for $1.3 billion. Yikes. A little bit of a sale there. So they're going to be... Embracer is going to still retain the rights to some parts of Gearbox's business. Like some of the games I think that they've published, publishing rights to Remnant franchise and the upcoming Hyper Light Breaker. And they're also going to publish some unannounced games as well, but everything's going to be folded into Take-Two Interactive, I'd imagine, under the 2K Games moniker as well, because, I mean, that's where they've been publishing a lot of their games previously.
Yeah, this kind of is a very logical sort of leap because, yeah, 2K has been doing a lot of the publishing, so it's interesting.
Yeah, so cool. Glad to see that they're not going under.
Yeah, exactly. That's with a lot of the Embracer-related things lately, I feel like that's the common theme. Well, I'm glad they're not going under, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then, so I'm excited to see. I hear they're working on Borderlands 4, so can't wait to find out more about that.
I mean, especially if they time it for the movie. Make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. All right. Well, before we get to one of our favorite segments here at Orange Lounge Radio, I do have an important update about Twitch streaming culture. I'm sorry to announce you may no longer stream playing video games on your butt. Yes, this was a thing. Yep, this was a thing that some streamers were doing.
That's where I only play video games is on my butt.
Well, what you do at home is your own business, but some folks on Twitch were using green screen tricks to green screen, like you wear a pair of green briefs or panties or a bra or something, and you can actually play a video game on your body part. Unfortunately, Twitch is now officially prohibiting content that focuses on clothed intimate body parts, such as the buttocks, groin, or breasts for extended periods of time. Twitch said that in a statement and it was immediately banned by Microsoft. No, I'm kidding. But Twitch did say that in a statement on March 29th. Our community guidelines are designed to help make Twitch a welcoming place. Okay, look, I get it. Like Twitch just, it is very interesting. It just goes to show, draw a line and people like fucking,
we'll cross it.
People like fucking cats. No, they won't cross it. No. They will walk up to the line. They'll sniff around the line. They'll try to put a finger past the line or a butt past the line and see what they can get away with. People will try to get away with anything and everything if you don't.
But you know, if they could cross that line, they would pogo stick right over it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing, is like the people that there are certain individuals on Twitch that are the ones pushing these metas, trying to skirt the line. Just ban them. Just ban them already.
That's like
what was it? Like, no, permanently ban them. Like,
it's not gonna last. They're gonna make another account.
That's a ban evasion, then they get banned again. Because, like, for example, Morgpie is one of the ones that's, you always see her name when it's coming to these different metas trying to escape, you know, skirt by the rules. And it's just, the only reason she's on there is to try.
I was just linked to something here. I was going to show it, and then I realized that's a bad decision. You will have to look at the link the Tiger Claw dropped in chat, because if I show this, I could be risking a ban, and I can't do that. So you're going to have to click that link that Tiger Claw just showed. But I am looking at an individual with long red hair, and she has apparently green screened the area between her neck and her breasts. So you just see the floating head and the tatas. That's it. Anyway.
Yeah, and so all these things went into effect on the 29th of March. So, I mean, I don't know. I would just say ban these people because they're just going to keep coming back doing different things like this.
Or ask yourself, should they be part? I don't know. Is this person partnered? I'm assuming they are because they probably, I'm sure it was easy for them to meet the criteria. You know, ask yourself, do you want to be partners with these types of streamers? And look, I understand sex work is work. That's fine. You know, but there are also websites. There is very explicitly
just
a competitor.
Make an OnlyFans like everyone else does.
That's the thing. They're using Twitch to drive traffic to that. That's the whole point.
There is legitimately a competitor to Twitch where folks are encouraged to play video games and be naked. I can't tell you what it is, but you can go find it. It's not hard to find. Just take a stick and see if it points you in the right direction. That's, you know, it's out there. But if Twitch wants to draw the line for advertiser dollars to keep the place in business, then that's what they have to do. I would also encourage you not to put the website in chat. You can do whatever you want on Discord, I guess, within reason, but don't do it in chat. Because I'm sure some of you are like, oh, Rob is talking about, meh, I wouldn't do that. All right.
Yeah, Rob is talking about,
eh. Yes, I've suddenly become the cartoon strip Kathy. I'm talking about Eck. All right.
Yes. Is that still going?
Hasn't she retired by now?
Hasn't she gone and just kicked her coworkers all in the crotch and quit? I would read that Kathy comic.
Kathy has fucking had it. That's the movie.
It should just be Kathy's retirement. And fuck you especially. And where's my raise? And I'm going to go and be a political blah, blah. No.
I didn't.
I don't know.
Now I'm thinking of that TikTok again. Here I am. Apparently this is Rob thinks of TikTok tonight. But I'm thinking of that old lady. And it's always like people repost it. And it says like me reporting to work at Monday after my 2 hour nap or something is this old lady going, "What? What? Fuck you."
Oh, yeah, that's me. Except I just think it really loudly.
All right. Let's get to a Orange Right in chat says Kathy's resignation rated M for mature. All right.
Rated M for yeah, motherfucker. No.
Let's get to a popular segment here on the show, which may or may not be rated M for mature. It's the classic of the week.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Soccer, what did you pick for the classic game this week?
I picked Metamorphic Force. Yay. It is an arcade game that was released by Konami in 1993. And it is one of Konami's last side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Along with a Violent Storm. It actually is a lot like X-Men in the arcade. It runs on the same hardware as Mystic Warriors. So just a basic recap of this game is that the evil King Death Shadow, I mean, that's not what you name your firstborn if you expect them to not be an evil emperor. The ruler of the Empire of Horror has risen from the dead to take over everything. And Athena's like, bitch, no. So she summons the souls of four ancient guardians and charged them up with her mojo and set them to stop the evil. And they can turn into different beasts. So kind of like altered beasts, but better. A lot better. So you play as Bon, who is a martial artist, and he turns into a fighting bull. His beast form is a minotaur. His guardian, sorry, is a fighting bull, so he turns into a minotaur. You have Claude, who is a swordsman with a rapier. He turns into a werewolf. Max, a fighter who's a boxer, turns into a werepanther. And Ivan, who is a hunter and wrestler, turns into a werebear. And so you get into your beast mode and collect a power up from golden statues. And you eventually will get there. There's also like this rodent creature that shows up and gives you like a health item or a gold statue or something for your score. And they drop other power ups. Or if you attack the little rat man, I don't know what he does if you attack him, but he will. Oh yeah, he'll drop power ups because he's all shook and runs away. But when you get a statue, when you're already in beast mode, you get a screen attack which destroys everything on screen. And if it's collected during a boss fight, the boss is hit super hard and twice. So you have other anthropomorphic creatures that you fight, like frog folks and lizards and hedgehogs and heffalumpmans and boars. And then your bosses, you have one called Cabrios the Ram Man, who looks like Baphomet. And you have Scythe, who is a flaming chicken man. You're fighting barbecue chicken then. And then a demoness who turns into a dragon. And so you've got, you know, a bunch of other stuff. So there was a U.S. version and a Japanese version. The U.S. version has a numeric life counter that also doubles as your timer. So it goes down by one life point each tick, kind of like Gauntlet, right? The Japanese version uses a traditional health bar. The fifth stage in the U.S. has a boss rush where you basically fight everybody until you get to the end boss. But in the Japanese version, you only fight at levels boss, sorry. And some of the sprites have been really altered, like stained glass artwork in the elevator has been changed in the U.S. one. Game Machine in Japan magazine listed Metamorphic Force on their September 15th, 1993 issue as being the 17th most successful arcade unit of the month. And you know, a lot of places gave it really, really good ratings. The soundtrack got released with in the CD's collection, Konami Amusement Sounds 93 Autumn Edition. And also, now, one other thing about the game system that should be pointed out is that the Model DD6 and Model DD7 of the Bemani games originate from this game. So the Model DD6 is used on Stage 2 and 7 boss battles, while Model DD7 is used for Stage 5's boss battle. And, you know, again, these went into the Bemani games. So there you go. The game is Metamorphic Force. It is pretty badass. And I think the action is definitely a lot faster than Altered Beast. I have more fun playing this.
How did I not really know about this game? Maybe I did play this one. I think maybe I did play this, but I forgot.
This was arcade
it.
Only, remember?
Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, they used to have cool arcade games at Golfland once upon a time. I feel like I played, or like Scandia, or one of those, you know, the arcade. Maybe even the bowling alley, what I recall.
I'm pretty sure that I played this in an arcade in Dothan, Alabama, at the old Tilt Arcade.
Oh, man, Tilt Arcade takes me back. Some comments about this game in our chat. Orange Wright says, Konami sure like to make the U.S. versions quarter suckers. Yeah, well, that's the business, right? Questbuster says, if I recall correctly, the animated look Konami used for this game was also reminiscent of that used in Gaiaopolis, which also ran on the same hardware.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, well, there is your classic game of the week. Metamorphic Force.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. I'll have to check that one out. It also kind of, in, you know, we had a little joke intro tonight about the game Altered Beast, and this game kind of reminds me about that, the whole, like, beast fighting type of thing. It's kind of, you know, a little bit.
It was ironic you did that when I chose this game.
Yes.
I didn't know if you made them tie in with each other, but
no,
it's awfully funny.
There was supposed to be a different joke with that bumper there, and it's just unintended. You know, because remember, the beginning of Altered Beast is rise from your grave.
Rise from your glob.
And I'll let you all marinate on why that's funny today. So, yeah, that's it is funny, though. I guess we just love video games where people turn into animals. What can we say? Tiger Claw in chat says, I've never seen this arcade game in my life. So it's nice to hear about classic arcade games you never heard of because you never seen them around back in your days. Yeah, I mean, not every game that existed always made its way to your local arcade. So, or it was there for like 6 weeks and then didn't do well and was gone. So.
And then Namco would buy your arcade.
Yes, or many of those types of things too, for sure. All right, let's check out some other news in a segment we call Rapid Fire News. Loki.
All right. So we have news that Earthblade, the next game from Extremely OK Games, or the folks behind Celeste, it's been delayed. It's not coming out until I think next year now. Yeah, it was originally going to have a 2024 release window, but yeah, it's going to be a little bit later now. So, yeah, it's good. I can't wait. Celeste was awesome. and then this is a bit of funniness. So I saw this on Twitter actually. But Katsuhiro Harada of the Tekken franchise was asking fans, because I guess there's been this grassroots effort to try to get him to put Waffle House into the new Tekken game as an official stage, because they want to have people battling out of Waffle House. And he's like, okay, I'm only going to ask this once. Why do people keep requesting the Waffle House? Like, he didn't understand the context.
Hello, I am from a different country. Why are you all obsessed with the idea of people battling at a Waffle House? It's like somebody has.
But you do at Waffle House.
The meme.
It was funny. The responses were hilarious, with, like, you know, images of the woman like batting the chair out of the way as it flies through the air, and just, like, you know, essentially letting him know that, hey, well, just because it's known for a lot of fighting and stuff. I think it'd be funny to put in any fighting game.
That should be the advertising game at Waffle House. It's a place to fight. Okay, maybe it's not
fighting off the Zerges.
We do
fighting your colon about 30 minutes later.
That's it. New dream game suggestion, I think. and you know, hear me out. Mm-hmm. We have call it like Backroads Battler. And like you have like fighting happen like at a Waffle House, and then like at like a convenience store. You know, you're fighting like the people who'll try to jump on a robber, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you have it at what's another place a lot of people get in fights at? Post office.
The kids' little league game.
Yeah, no. Backstage at a kids' ballet.
Oh, Dance Moms. Yes.
Dance Moms. We have a Dance Moms area. And we just call this, you know, like I said, American Backroads Battler.
America fight.
Yeah.
Esther Show and Hunter Matt in chat says Waffle House, final destination, no items, 5 stock. All right. Anyway. Dark Soccer, what do you have for rapid fire?
And there'll be level fatalities where like someone gets a hash brown smother coverage chunked, you know?
Not the fucking land on fatalities. Them. All right.
You know, I think that would be beautiful.
Take us to another story.
Okay. How about some Capcom stuff? They have revealed the most popular games and comments from the fan survey that a bunch of us did. I'm pissed. But according to the graphic below, the biggest things that came up in votes, and this isn't like just titles and everything. But there's like it looks like it's more, it almost looks like it's more of like a, yeah, it says it's a text from a text mining tool. So I think this is better.
It's one of those word clouds that corporations love. Just parses a bunch of text and yeah, it's just a fucking word cloud.
I hate those.
Yeah.
I mean, Veronica's on there. I would reckon that's from Code Veronica. Mm-hmm. But the biggest names on there are Dino Crisis, Mega Man, Capcom, Remake, Game, and Thank You. And then going with Remake and Game, respectively, we have Ace Attorney Remake and Resident Evil Game. Rival is on there, Street Fighter is, but it's like, it's really
there's
small.
Schools. They have schools in larger fonts, so maybe it's larger than Dragon's Dogma, for what it's worth, so I don't know.
We just need to be louder, everybody. We need to be louder.
Okay.
We need to get up on our little soapboxes and scream out to the masses, we need more. Okay, well, DT says Rival Schools is bigger on their Japanese list, although I don't know why it wouldn't say Shiritsu Justice Gakuen. But, you know, we need to stand up and say, give us our Rival School / Shiritsu Justice Gakuen, and give us another Red Earth.
Give me cake.
And Cyberbots.
Give me cake. Or give me Rival Schools.
No, those are the three. I know what I said, because I want another Cyberbots too. Because don't you know, Cyberbots is Capcom's number one game.
Is it?
I know the people who wrote that line.
Really?
That's yeah, funny. Well, one of them's Chris Tang.
Oh, how funny. Digital Mess in chat says, hey, Capcom, give us Rival Schools 3 or else we riot. That'll get it done, that's for sure.
New version, Riot Schools.
Hey.
No, we don't need that.
Guess what? Complaining sometimes works, because I always bitch and moan about how much I love the Commodore 64, and I want more crap. And guess what's coming out? More Commodore 64 iconery crap. This is the accessory maker 8-Bit Do is releasing a mechanical keyboard. They did one based on the NES and Famicom before, but this one is going to be based off the Commodore 64. That's right. It is a mechanical keyboard. But it looks like, you guessed it, a Commodore 64 keyboard. And I have to say, it does look kind of cool. I don't know if I would actually be able to use one of these like as my main keyboard, but I think it is pretty badass. And I love that in this mock photo somebody took, they actually have like a game playing on a Commodore monitor. So yeah, I don't know what like actual use I would have for this keyboard, but I think it does look really cool. Let's see. It's USB, Bluetooth. It's going to cost $109.99 and will ship on May 26, 2024. Not going to lie, I still kind of want one. Like, Maybe I can have it downstairs with the Xbox.
We'll see. There's a thought.
All right. Just what I need to be doing. Justifying stupid purchases right now. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and check out games that are coming out real soon, if anything. I don't know if there's...
Not a lot. Yeah. We're in the slow time of the year. So we have a couple things coming out this week, starting with Freedom Planet 2 on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. The Gap on...
Do you have to mind it?
The Switch? I don't know. It's a walking simulator. Is this like taking place in a Gap? Like the store? What is this?
Well, I was thinking of Mind the Gap, like, you know.
No, this is not it. It is.
You work your way up from Old Navy to Gap to Banana Republic. Like it's a, you know, progression. Yeah.
No, it apparently is. It's not that. And then we have Biomorph on PC. That is it.
All right, going to Japan and checking out the releases there. On the Switch this week, we have on April the 4th, Expeditions, a Mud Runner game. That is the only release coming out in Japan this week. And what is a Mud Runner? It's one of those, like, you know, power truck things that goes through the mud, you know, and kicks dirt everywhere. Hell yeah, Dirt Rally. It's one of those type of games. But that is the only release on the Switch this week. On the PlayStation 5, you can also check out Expeditions, a Mud Runner game. But that is the only release in Japan this week. As Loki said, it's a bit of a slow week, and Japan is no different. That's because the fiscal year ended for a lot of companies last week, right? So that's why it's a weak release here. But hey, if nothing else, there's always Dirt Rally. Dark Sakura, what about the UK? Same case there?
Yeah, there's nothing at all.
Nothing at all. All right.
Did the music play with it?
Hey, this week, you can maybe catch up on your fucking backlog. There you go. How about that?
I'm too busy playing other games. Sorry.
That's it. Catching up on your backlog.
I'm still in the committed relationship with the ending credits of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
I still have to start Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because I keep getting distracted by shiny things. The eternal struggle. One of these days, mm-hmm. I'll play the Mario RPG remake that I bought, too, and never played. All right. Moving on. Hey, speaking of games and people's backlog, Loki, I think you have one more story for us.
Yeah, it's in my backlog because I don't own a PlayStation 5, but apparently there's still talk saying that even though, you know, we know that Final Fantasy 16 is coming to PC, that might not be the end of it. And according to Yoshida, basically said it's not over in the sense that we have the PC version. Once the PC version is released, we're thinking about hopefully moving to other platforms as well. Wonder what other platforms that could be. I think it's time for the Ouya the Shine.
Everybody's saying Xbox, but I really think it's Nintendo's Switch successor. I feel like Nintendo's Switch successor will see the game before Xbox does. But we'll see. Anything's possible. See. Yeah. It's not that we'll like see. Microsoft... and Final Fantasy don't get along. In fact, there's a lot of people on Microsoft's platform that wishes they would put out more Final Fantasy games. You know, the Pixel remasters never came out on Xbox, and that has a lot of people heated because there's no reason that should be the case. Those Pixel remasters are on fucking phones. They're on phones, Steam, PlayStation. They're not on Xbox. Why? Anybody's guess. It's silly. Yeah, so it almost makes you wonder, like, does... And then all these fucking hoops with Final Fantasy 14, including what we talked about at the top of the show. It makes people go like, seriously, does Microsoft have a fucking problem with Final Fantasy or something? And
they don't. It's just Sony's probably paid them money to be exclusive. Yes. And so that's why.
Yes. But, you know, I'm not sure how much more Final Fantasy 16 copies are going to sell after this new DLC comes out pretty soon. So let's see. I guess there'll still be like a Game of the Year edition that has it all bundled up in one. But after that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is all the slot of news we had tonight. You know, it was a little, we had some big stories, but it was a little bit of a slower week just because of, you know, everything that's going on. And I think with the end of the fiscal quarter, spring break, et cetera, and all of that. Y'all are still talking about Waffle House and Chad. Yeah, and Dark
Waffle House is life.
Yeah, and they don't have to. And as Darksocker said in chat, they don't have them here in California. It's a whole debate about minimum wage, which minimum wage for food service goes up to $20. So there is Waffle House will especially never open a store here. So if you want to go to one, I think the closest one is in, if it's not like Tucson, Arizona, which I've actually been to, it's right by the airport. Maybe one of the suburbs of Phoenix might technically be closer in miles, but that's about the closest Waffle House. Because I don't think there's any of them on the West Coast. I don't think they're in Oregon, Washington. I don't think they're in Nevada either. And I don't think I've seen any in Idaho when I went up there and drove through there. So I feel like they're not really on the West Coast at all, except for Arizona. So anyway. I only eat Waffle House when I go to Dragon Con. And even then, I'm like... Like, it was fun the first couple times, but even now I'm like, okay, I'm over it. Like, it's a meme at this point. Yeah, I don't need to go. There's much better places I'd rather go. So. I want to open it up to potentially your calls over on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is the place to give us a call. Or if you have random questions in our chat, we'll always take those over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I will punt it over to Loki to check in and see if we have any last minute stories.
There's this rumor that 2K is going to announce their FIFA game coming Tuesday, or they're going to announce it on Tuesday. It's supposed to be called FIFA 2K FC. So okay. We'll see if that actually happens.
We'll see what happens. One small piece of news I know that came up this week, because I follow this game, is No Man's Sky. You know how I was bitching about the expedition is ending too early. Do they have a new patch coming out or something? Well, guess what? A new patch came out this week for No Man's Sky. The answer is yes, it is. And it takes a feature that a lot of people really liked about Starfield. I'm not sure it was intended to take a feature from Starfield, but it's basically the customizing the ships and building your ships rather than usually you had to rely on the algorithm to kind of get you a good ship. But now they have a little bit more of a robust shipbuilding system in the game. I haven't played it since they did the patch. So that's why I'm speaking a little bit generally. But I do know they also finally made algorithmic updated space stations, which is kind of cool because every space station kind of looks the same, which I did like because you always know, okay, run to the left and you're going to find the bag upgrade. So, you know, unless you were in a pirate space station, every space station relatively looked the same. So now those are being procedurally generated a little bit as well, which is kind of cool. It brings a little more uniqueness to each system in the game. So I saw this article out there while I was doing, I was digging up stuff for tonight's show, and somebody wrote an article about why No Man's Sky is better than Starfield at this point. With this latest patch, it says they've basically taken every feature that made Starfield interesting and it's in No Man's Sky. Which I don't know. I feel bad-ish for Starfield because I don't want to hate on that game, but it didn't click for me the way that No Man's Sky does. I don't know. Anyway, SJ100 Matt is asking in our chat, did you see the Spot Pass fan archive project that's going on? So apparently there is this website you can access on GitHub. So it's a GitHub server called, or sorry, a GitHub site called Spot Pass Archive. And apparently what this site is doing is you can actually dump a database from your system to help various network revival services in preserving Spot Pass content. That's kind of interesting, including Mario Kart 7 for Ghost Data, Street Pass, the puzzle pieces and all of that, Pokemon games for events and stuff. I didn't know. New Super Mario Brothers 2. I forgot about that. But yeah, there was all this. So apparently they are collecting 3DS dumps and Wii U dumps. Oh, I miss Swapnote. Man, cool. Anyway, but yeah, that's a whole thing that's happening on GitHub, which is kind of neat. But, you know, yeah, leave it to the fans, the archivists, these folks that I know Nintendo doesn't like, but guess what? When you pull the plug on your services, this is how people get it to live on. So some people are going to go ahead.
There's a will, there's a way.
That's right. Some people are pissed. They're never going to collect every puzzle piece in the Street Pass. And so that's why this happens.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps up for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I know it was a shorter show tonight, but it is a multitude of holidays here in the States and so forth, and a little bit of a slower news week. But we will be back next week, if you can believe it, episode number 999 of our show. And in 2 weeks, we hit 1,000 weekly episodes of this show, which is quite a landmark. Thanks to all of you for being along for the ride. It's wild to think about. It really is. It's just... Somebody also said to me today in a text, actually it was Jason, our voiceover guy, sent this to me in a text. He said, did you know today is also the 25th anniversary of The Matrix coming out in theaters? And I'm like, I saw that movie in the theater twice. I'm feeling very old right now. I'm feeling very attacked.
But we're cool. We're cooler.
No, I know. We're super cool. Anyway, that's going to do it. Let's wrap it up here and we'll call it a show for this week and we'll be back in 7 days. Dark Sakura, I know you're going to stream some Dead by Daylight. I'm sad the event's done. I thought I had another day for that event. I didn't get as many blood points as I should have. Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't finish like all the things, but they did it to where you don't have to do them all to unlock all of the items. You just need to finish the tomes.
That's nice.
And yeah, at least like go through a few of both sides, you know. But it was fun.
Well, do you have a final thought for our listeners tonight?
Fact check all the things. Do it. You'll be a better person for it. And be critical of what you love.
Unless it's us. Never be critical of us.
Be constructively critical, because sometimes complaining is a gift.
That's fine. That's constructive criticism is fine, but never about sound problems that don't make the podcast feed. Never about
that. Just email those directly to rob@rob.rob.
All right. Have a good stream, Dark Sakura.
Later, taters.
Bye.
I'm trying to get my thing to show up. Bye.
All right. Loki, how about you? Your final thought tonight?
I don't know. Be hard at work on more of this Minecraft stuff, I guess. Same as always.
My final thought for the night is I've got some shows coming up in April here locally. So follow me on social media to hear all about them, because I always promote them. I'm on Blue Sky at Rob Roberts is my name there. I'm also on Instagram. And I am also on, what's the other site? Oh, yeah, I guess I'm on TikTok, though I don't post there as much. I'm on Threads, technically. But yeah, Instagram, Blue Sky, best places to find me. Twitch as well, of course. All right, that's it. We're going to wrap up. Thank you all for being here tonight, and I hope you had a great day. Thank you for spending the night with us, and we'll see you in 7 days. Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.